All right, I ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Paul writing to his son in the faith in chapter number 1 of the second epistle. I want to read one verse for our text today, and I want you to listen very carefully to it. As Bruce said, sometimes we sing songs and don't really listen to the words. Sometimes maybe we read scriptures and don't really get the true meaning that the Lord puts into it. Verse number 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Heavenly Father, thank you that we have this opportunity that we can come this morning and worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you for these that have come this way today. Lord, we pray that they will be helped and encouraged and strengthened by your word. We pray the Spirit might have free reign in each of our lives. We ask you to remove anything today that would hinder the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up today. We ask you now that you might take this message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his holy name we pray, amen and amen. I heard a fellow down in Louisiana, and one day he was talking to his boss and construction company, and the boss said, "Man, you know a lot of people. Every time I see somebody coming by, they say, 'Hey, John Pierre.'" And he said, "I know everybody in the world." He said, "Now, that's a pretty good statement." He said, "Now, John Pierre, you don't know everybody in the world." He said, "I know everybody in the world." He said, "I even know the governor." And the boss said, "I don't believe you know the governor." He said, "Well, let's just drive up to Baton Rouge and see." So they drove up to the Capitol, walked up to the Capitol of the state of Louisiana, and the man sitting outside said, "Well, John Pierre, you here to see the governor?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, go right on in." And they went in. The governor said, "Well, John Pierre," said, "we're just fixing to eat. Come on in and eat with us. Bring your friend, too." His boss said, "Well, I guess that's kind of a coincidence." He said, "Man, I even know the president." He said, "The president?" He said, "Yeah, I know the president." He said, "I don't believe that." So he said, "Well, you got a plane?" "Yeah, we've got a plane. Well, fly me up to Washington and I'll show you." So they flew all the way to Washington, D.C., got to the White House, got out, and the guard said, "Well, John Pierre, you here to see the president?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I think he's having coffee." He said, "Just go right on in." We went in, and there was the president, and he said, "Well, John Pierre, come in, have a cup of coffee with me." He said, "Man, that's kind of impressive." He said, "But I know somebody you don't know. You don't know this new pope." He said, "I know this pope." He said, "No, you don't." He said, "Well, just fly me over to Italy and I'll show you." So they get to Italy and they get to the Vatican. And he said, "Now, they won't let you in." But he said, "I'm going in. I'm going to see the pope." I said, "We'll come out on that balcony right there." I said, "He'll wave at you." He said, "Okay." So he gets out. Sure enough, about 10 minutes later, here comes John Pierre out with this man, and he waves, and this man, he said, "You know, that dude could fool me. He could just pick out anybody in there and stand up there." So fella coming down the street, and he looked at that guy, and he said, "Man, can you help me out?" He said, "What?" He said, "Is that guy up there, is that the pope?" He said, "You mean the guy standing with John Pierre?" Oh, you know, I don't know everybody today. And I doubt if anybody really knows everybody. But we do find this morning the Apostle Paul tells us in our text that we do need to know at least one person, because the Apostle Paul said, "I know whom I have believed today." Amen. We need to know whom we have believed. Amen. I read an article in the Mississippi Baptist Record I think it was last week's, I can't remember. But it was talking about many church members casual about doctrine. And I glanced down through it and I saw these five little things. And I want you to listen to them. And it said, regarding beliefs about life after death include, and these are Baptist people, these are not heathens today. When you die, you will go to heaven because you tried your best to be a good person and lived a good life. 7% of Baptists said that. You have no way of knowing what will happen when you die. That was 5% of them. When you die, you will go to heaven because God loves everyone, and we will all be in heaven with him. That was 4%. When you die, you will go to heaven because you have read the Bible, been involved in church, and tried to live as God wants you to live, 2%. There is no life after death, 1%. I was amazed when I read that. That comprises, I believe, about 19% of the Baptist church has no concept of salvation today and life after death. The word saved today has become a seldom used word in the pulpits of many churches. As a matter of fact, it's usually used in a derogatory way by the liberals of our time this morning. But I want to tell you the most important thing in this life. The most important thing in this life today is more important than success. A lot of people are taught to have success and have nothing against success, but if you study the Bible, there is but one mention of the word success in the Bible, and it has to do with obeying the Word of God. But more important than being successful in this life, more important today than in gaining power or money or anything else today, is to be saved. Or as the Apostle Paul very simply states here in our text this morning, to know Jesus. Amen. To know Jesus. That's more important than anything else. For Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We know this morning that the Apostle Paul, of course, knew Jesus. That's what he tells us here in our text. And so as you look at this text today, just a couple of things I'd point out to you real quickly. Number one, the Apostle Paul had true assurance this morning. True assurance. We need true assurance in our lives today. We need to know who we are today. We need to know if we're saved or not. True assurance. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Now, I'm sure Paul knew what he believed. I'm sure Paul, as he wrote much of the New Testament and framed many of the doctrines that we today engage in the Baptist church today, and many of the doctrines and principles upon which we base our lives and how that we're to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure the Apostle Paul knew what he believed. But more important than what he believed this morning, the Apostle Paul knew whom he had believed. You see, the Apostle Paul knew Jesus. He met him on the Damascus Road. And from the dust, as he groveled about there as a proud Pharisee, we find that he arose to be a flaming messenger of the cross. And the Apostle Paul never forgot the day on the Damascus Road this morning. You know why he never forgot that day? That was the day that he met Jesus. When you meet Jesus this morning, I don't believe you'll ever forget that day.
Amen.
The songwriter wrote, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. You know, I don't believe you can forget the day that you met Jesus. I don't believe you can ever meet him and forget it this morning. I'm glad this morning I can tell you that I know whom I have believed today. I'm glad to tell you that I can tell you this morning that I know Jesus. I don't know a lot of important people, but I know the most important person. I know Jesus today.
Amen.
Several years ago, Garth Brooks, the country western singer, had a song called Friends in Low Places. Well, I'm glad to report to you this morning that I've got a friend in high places. I'm glad today that I know Jesus today. You see, the question this morning that you have to answer in your heart and in your life and to have true assurance today is not do you believe a certain doctrine. Kind of like a fellow that was asked one day, he said, well, what do you believe? He said, I believe what my church believes. And he said, well, what does your church believe? He said, my church believes what I believe. He said, well, what do you and your church believe? He said, we believe the same thing. You know, we can believe what today? We can believe a lot of things. But the most important thing is, do you know who you believe it?
Amen.
Do you know Jesus? That's a question, you see, that we have to answer today. Many people say, what kind of preacher are you, Baptist? Or, you know, I know what they're referring to. This morning, we need to understand that it's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Methodist. It's not about being any kind of denomination. True assurance doesn't come from that today. True assurance comes from knowing that you've met the Lord Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
I'm glad my God is real today.
Thank you, Lord.
He walks with me and talks with me. The Apostle Paul, as we read this text today, was in prison in Rome. He wasn't his first imprisonment. This was his second imprisonment. The first time he was in a house and was guarded by guards. This time he's in the Mamertine prison. It's a big hole in the ground and a kind of a cavern, and they would let you down by a rope, and was filled with filth and vermin and every other kind of evil and bad thing that you can think of today. And the Apostle Paul was down in this dungeon. He was there because of his preaching of the gospel, because of his testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm not ashamed that I've been across the globe and that I've been around the world, that I've did every and spent my life preaching the gospel. I'm not ashamed of that, even though I'm in prison for it. And that's why I'm suffering the things that I suffer. But he said, Timothy, I want to tell you something else. I still have true assurance, even though I'm here in this prison. Even though I know, as he would write in a couple of chapters later, that the time of my departure is at hand. Even though I've been a loyal soldier, I've kept the faith and fought a good fight and finished my course. Even though, Timothy, I've done all the things the Lord asked me to do and been obedient to him, and I'm still here in this bad, smelly place. I'm here in this dirty dungeon. But, Timothy, I can tell you I have true assurance. Because my God is real. I met him on the Damascus Road, and I know who I am. Believe it today. And I'm glad this morning that he never leaves me, nor he never forsakes me today. I'm glad that Jesus has promised a better place, and Jesus today is my Savior. You see, this morning, Paul didn't say, I believe and practice some ritual or some creed. But I know him. True assurance. True assurance comes from knowing that you've met the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I remember when I met him. I can take you to the place nearly. He got blown away in a tornado, but I can still get pretty close. I remember when I met him. Do you remember when you met him?
Amen.
That's true assurance, you see. You know whom you have believed.
Right.
Paul said, I have true assurance, Timothy. And not only did he say, I have true assurance, he said, I have true confidence. For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, Timothy, I am persuaded that he is able. He said, I've got confidence in the ability of Jesus. Do you have confidence in the ability of Jesus today? That's the question.
Thank you, Lord.
Paul said, I got that confidence. I believe that he's able.
Yes.
You see, sometimes with man, things are impossible, but nothing is impossible with God.
Right.
Ephesians 3:20, the apostle wrote, now he is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Have you ever thought about that? He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
I'm glad, and Paul said, I'm confident in Jesus. I have the true confidence in the Lord today. I'm confident in Jesus' ability to save today.
Right.
He said in the book of Hebrews, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him.
Yes. Amen.
He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He has that ability. We look at that word and we talk about all. You know, we talk about knowing all the people in the world a while ago. That's what that exactly means, all the people in the world. He's able to save all the people in the world. I don't even know all the people in the world. but the Lord can save every one of them. He's able to save all that come unto God by him.
Right.
That's his ability today, to reach down and save. He's the only one that can do that. I've got confidence today in his ability to secure us. Jesus said that no man can pluck them out of my hands. You see, we're in the hands of the Lord today. I'm glad I'm secure in his hands. Somebody says, well, what's going to happen one of these days when something goes wrong? Well, a lot of things go wrong, but it doesn't make any difference. I'm still secure in the hands of Jesus today. I'm secure. I'm glad I can find security in him. I'm glad today that he's able to succor. That is, he's able to give aid. You see, sometimes we need help. I'm glad when I need help, I can find somebody to help me. Amen. He's able to succor. He's able to get me through that time in life when I really need somebody to help me. Sometimes life gets tough, and sometimes life gets difficult. Sometimes everything just seems to be crashing down all around you, and you don't seem to know which direction to turn. And thank God sometimes, when you get to that point, you're able to find help in your time of need. I'm glad that he's able to do that today. I can tell you testimony after testimony and give you times in my life when he's been able to do that. When you've wondered, what am I going to do and how is this going to work? And Lord, I need your help. And he's always been there to help. I've got true confidence in the Lord today. May not have confidence in a lot of people, but I got confidence in the Lord. You know, a lot of people will tell you a lot of different things today. They'll make a lot of different promises to you. And they don't ever come true. But I got news for you today. If the Lord promised you something, he's going to bring it to pass.
Right.
Think about that. He's going to bring it to pass. Several years ago when my oldest son Kevin was playing baseball and we were playing a baseball game and I was coaching, and we got in one of those critical situations, and I had a kid pitching, and I went out and I said, Cedric, can you get this man out? Yes, sir. I said, you sure? Yes, sir, I'm going to throw him some sliders. I said, you sure you can get him out now? I'm sure. I said, okay, I'm going to let you stay in. First pitch, he threw a slider and I hit it about 300 feet. Destroyed my confidence in his slider. But you know, when the Lord tells me he can do something, I'm put confidence in it. I don't even have to worry about it. I just go back and sit down.
Right, yeah.
I thought about Joshua. I've told this before, but it always amazed me when Joshua was out looking over Jericho and trying to figure out how in the world he could take this great walled city. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, the captain of the Lord's host, and told him the foolishest thing you ever heard, you know, about marching around it. You know what Joshua, I believe, did? I mean, he'd been, I'm pretty sure, kind of concerned about all of this and what he was going to tell the people and what they were going to do, but the Lord told him what he was going to do and how to do it. I believe Joshua just went back to his tent and sat down and said, okay, got it made. He didn't have to worry about it anymore. Why? The Lord said what he's going to do. And he had confidence in the Lord. Do we have confidence in the Lord today? Can we just sit down and relax? That's what Paul said. I'm here in prison. They're probably going to cut my head off down by the Tiber River. But he said, ain't only me worried about it. I got a better place to go to. I'm just going to relax till the Lord tells me what to do. I got confidence in him. Do you have confidence in the Lord today?
Amen.
Can you sit down and relax? See, Romans chapter 4, verse number 23 says what he's promised he's able to perform. I'm glad today that we can put confidence in the Lord.
Amen.
Then he said, I have true trust. But I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I took what I had. I took all of my sins and all of my shortcomings. And he said, I just committed it unto him. And it's his. I've given him my life. I've just given him everything. And I let him have it. That's true trust.
Amen.
Think about it. You know, most people have a bank account. And if you work for the county, they send you a check to that bank account. You have to trust them to do that. But you know, we put our money in that bank account. We're committing it into the hands of another. We've got trust that when we get ready to get that money, they have it. Paul said, I'm going to tell you better than that. He said, I put everything in the hands of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm trusting Jesus to take care of everything. I have difficulty doing that sometimes. Do you? You have difficulty just putting everything in the Lord's hands? Just committing it to him and saying, Lord, there it is. I have trouble doing that sometimes. Told you before, you know, I often think about when I've got ready to cross the Jordan River. And God said, when your feet touch it, it'll dry up. I'm glad I wasn't the first guy that had to do that. I'd want to have been way back yonder and let some of them other guys drown, you know, and then we find out. You know, I had one lady tell me, she said, man, I don't want to have been the first one. I said, hallelujah, I'd have voted for you. That's true trust when you step that foot out hoping the water's going to go down as you're walking, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Paul said, I'm true trust. I put my total trust in the Lord this morning. I give him everything that I have. He said, I'm trusting in Jesus. That's who I'm trusting in today.
Yes, hallelujah.
I can't save you this morning. I can't redeem you. I can't even get you to heaven. To be fair with you, I can't even get you halfway. A few weeks ago, I used to do business with a company over in Tupelo, and they had changed management, changed a lot of the way they did things, and you had to wait till Friday, and you had to, the only time you could pick up stuff was on Friday, and you had to have a certain amount and so forth, and it was very difficult to do business with them. And so one day I was needing some stuff, and I was talking to a man, and he said, well, where'd you get it at? And I told him, he said, well, when do you need it? I said, now. He said, well, just a minute. And he took out his cell phone. Uncle John? Yeah. He told him what I needed. He said, well, you can pick it up about an hour. I couldn't get there, but praise God, I knew a man who can. I can't save you this morning, but I know a man who can.
Amen. Yeah.
I can't get you to heaven, but I know a man who can.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm glad this morning that I can preach the gospel. I'm glad this morning that I can tell you about the Lord Jesus. And that I can tell you, you can put yourself in his hands. And that when you put yourself and commit yourself to him, he commits himself to you.
Right.
You see, Paul said in the first epistle, he says, here I know whom I have believed. And you know what he said about that? He said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I'm glad not only do I know the Lord knows me.
Amen.
You see, I've committed to him and he's committed to me. Hallelujah today. Do you know Jesus? I give you a true recommendation. That's what the Apostle Paul, the last thing that he says here. He said, I'm not ashamed. He said, I give you a true recommendation. Jesus saves.
Amen.
I give you a true recommendation today. Come to Jesus. Come to Christ. And he'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. All you need to do today is say, Lord, here I am. Very difficult for people to come to that point in life. Very difficult today for us to humble ourselves and say, here am I. Lord, here am I. I remember that time. You're so proud and you just don't want to give it up. But suddenly, when you give it up and say, Lord, here am I. And the Lord says, hallelujah, here am I. Jesus today saves.
Yes, he does.
Paul said, I know whom I believe it. Do you know whom you believe it today? Are you trusting in something else? Are you trusting in the one that you've met this morning? Do you know Jesus? That's the question every man, woman, boy, and girl needs to ask and answer in their own heart. All right. We'll stand together with me, and Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask simply take this simple.